And we will open a public hearing on House Bill 2950. And Mr. Travis, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. You have before you the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 2950, which are actually a complete change of the bill from the original bill, the way that it was drafted. I have a note from Senator Brown, or to Senator Brown from Virginia Vanderbilt about this bill that is a cover for the Dash 1 amendments, and I'm presuming that each of you also has that memorandum. I don't have a lot to say about this bill in terms of a public hearing, although if the members are concerned about the questions that are raised by that memorandum, I would be glad to try to answer them.
Thank you. Just like to mention to our late arrivers here that we're conducting a public hearing on House Bill 2950. Do we have any questions for Mr. Travis?
I can take a few moments and talk about the bill itself if you'd like.
Could you do that?
Sure.
I would appreciate that.
House Bill 2950, the Dash 1 amendments, are another reprise of what you heard on the psychological parent issue earlier in front of this committee. This is another change to the statute which was mandated by the Troxell decision in the United States Supreme Court last April, the psychological parent issue, the intervener issue, if you will. The bill that you heard previously amended ORS 109-119 and dealt with intervention in domestic relations cases and other cases involving child custody. This bill only relates to intervention in child abuse and neglect cases. As it stands now, Oregon law under ORS 109-119 applies to all cases in which the custody of a child is at issue, including child abuse and neglect cases. What we are doing is we are detaching intervention in an abuse and neglect case from intervention in any other kind of child custody case. And we're doing that because child custody cases in a civil action, 107 actions, 109 actions, domestic relations actions, those kinds of things, are an entirely different dynamic than intervention in child abuse and neglect cases. And the appellate law that is decided under these two different kinds of cases can warp the other kind of case. For example, an appellate case of intervention in a divorce action, the outcome of that, the logic of that, may not be applicable in a child abuse and neglect case, primarily because the 107 action, the divorce action, is a case between two parents. In a 419 action, a child abuse and neglect case, that is a case that is between the state and the parents. So we have an entirely different dynamic going on, and we want to have different statutes to reflect that different dynamic. And we want these statutes, if there's going to be appellate decisions made based on intervention in juvenile court cases, we would like to detach these two lines of cases, if you will, so that the results in one arena don't warp results in the other. And that is what we're trying to accomplish here.
Thank you. I'm in the process of handing the gavel to the real vice chair here.
Where are we at?
Mr. Real Vice Chair?
Representative Shetterly.
Thank you. Tim, this is this is dated today.
Yes.
Yesterday. Yesterday.
Yes. That's
these
right.
These are Dash 1 amendments, and they replaced the bill. I guess my question is, who else knows about these gut and stuff? There's a lot of black print in here, and I know from the work on the Troxell group that came out with less than unanimity among the work group. I'd be curious to know who else has got a shot at these.
Mr. Chair, Representative Shetterly, if it weren't so late in the day, I might say I'm the only person who knows about this. Trust me. what I can say truthfully is that this has been signed off on by everyone who was involved in the work group. It went down to Legislative Council under Senator Brown's signature, and this vehicle was located by Senator Brown, and so it's on her say-so, with the entire work group agreeing to these changes.
One more. Just has, and Marilyn O'Dell, has she worked on these as well then?
Mr. Chair, Representative Shetterly, that's correct.
Okay, I just want that for the record.
Tim,
thank you.
Right? Tim?
Timothy, yes, sir.
Timothy. I haven't been here for all this, but I read this, and back on page 3, top, legal grandparent, and talks about what they can and can't do and be a party of it. Were they part of this? Was any representative of a grandparents group part of the part discussion?
No, Representative Krieger, and I've lost track of who the chair is, so, okay, Mr. Chair.
We won't be real formal today.
It's, frankly, as a Quaker, it's hard for me to keep these titles straight. But anyway, the reason that this legal grandparent language is in here, and they were not a part of this discussion, the former intervention statute allowed grandparents to intervene in a juvenile court case if the court found that that was in the best interest of the child. That is the one piece of Oregon law that is definitely out under Troxell. You are not allowed to simply allow someone, anyone, to intervene in a case if it's just in the best interest of the child. There must be other criteria met, including being having the caregiver relationship that we talk about in here. And this piece was added late to this because we realized that the grandparents were being shut out totally. And we don't have a choice about that. We have to do that unless the grandparent has the psychological or the caregiver relationship, and then they're welcome to come in as any other caregiver would. So what we did was we put this provision in that allows grandparents to have notice of all hearings and to be allowed to speak at all hearings, because we can't give the grandparents what they had under the law, unless, of course, they have this relationship, and then they can have full party status. So that's why this is in here.
Hey, Timothy, nowadays there are so many more grandparents that are actually raising their grandchildren. It looks like I may even be doing that in the future. And so I'm just worrying with that. I would be able to, that if I was the caregiver, they're living with me, to be party of that.
Absolutely. Mr. Krieger, if you are the caregiver, then you have that caregiver relationship, then you can intervene in the case and become a full-blown party to the case, just like anyone else who has that relationship.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Thank you, Tim.
Great, thank you.
Kathy Osborne, did you have, you're on the list here. Do you want to testify?
Thank you, Vice Chair Krieger, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Kathy Osborne. Juvenile Rights Project took part in the intervention in the work group that worked on this bill, and to make my testimony very brief, we support all of the changes that are in it.
That's all you've got?
That's all I have.
I've noticed that both you and Bill have been very short with your afternoon testimony. I learned something from that. You want to go ahead and go to work?
Yeah, sure.
We're going to close the public hearing on 2950 and open 2950 to a work session.
Chair?
Yes.
I would move the dash one amendments to House Bill 2950.
Any discussion regarding that? Okay, so done, I guess.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I would move House Bill 2950 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Discussion on that. Okay, House Bill 2950 is moved to the full committee with the due pass recommendation. Who has heard enough about the bill you feel they can take it? Do you want to, can you take it to the full committee?
I'd rather not do it.
What's that?
I'll do it. Would you be the carrier of the full committee on that, on 2950?
He is. Representative Ackerman has agreed to do that.
Oh,
so
great.
We'll do that.
Oh,
okay.
Terrific.
Yeah,
thank you.
Okay, we'll close the work session on 2950.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this bill will not be on tomorrow, but next Tuesday afternoon we're going to have a special full committee meeting.
Okay, what other bills did you have?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we have several other bills. Let me go through the list here.
Mr. Chair, while he's looking, I'll be out at 5 today, so.
Same here. I've got redistricting at 5.
We do have a hearing for 2974 that we have not
session?
Had yet. And this is a bill that Representative Shutterly has worked on in a work group. It's, pardon the expression, especially after today's hearing and the nature of what the amendment is a gut and stuff. And it relates to the -2 amendments that you have before you. And this is the -2 amendments clean up the issue as it relates to the two bills that we had on eco-terrorism and interference with the agricultural research, because within those particular bills was broad language. We were putting that bill and several other statutes into RICO so that, for example, if you broke into a research facility with the intent of stealing a candy bar or a commissary and did it 2 nights in a row, you were technically within RICO. And what we did is, and you will see from your amendment.
Why don't I go ahead and open a hearing on it?
I'm sorry.
We'll open a public hearing on 2947. We only have one person signed up, Bill Hauser. Bill, why don't you come up and then go ahead, Mr. Taylor, and finish what you're doing.
Okay, sure. And if you look at the amendments, what we did to the language, and I think you can get a good flavor for this on the first page between lines 5 and 7, a person commits a crime of research and animal interference if the person does any of the following with the intent to interfere with research, rather than just knowingly. So if you steal, release, damage, obtain access to, enter an animal research facility, obtain, exert unauthorized control over records, you must do so with the intent to interfere with research. Without this intent, it would still probably be a crime. It just wouldn't be the crime of research and animal interference, which is, if the other legislation that we passed out of here is passed and signed into law, will be Puerto Rico, which is a Class A felony with a possible sentence of up to 20 years.
Okay. Mr. Hauser.
Mr. Vice Chair, I really don't have a lot of testimony. I was here basically to answer questions if anybody had any questions on the thing, because I was involved in the group that helped put this together.
Mr. Chair?
Yes. Well, this bill, I think, is the sort of the collateral effect of the other bills that we did on the agricultural research and the RICO bill. And I think what we learned in our march through those bills was that the predicate statutes that we were putting into RICO were a little bit sloppy in terms of the elements and drafting. And when we've done such a good job cleaning up interference with, not agricultural research, but interference with... It was the draft in 2385. That's right, the agricultural research. I think we learned things in that we were able to put into the existing statutes that we moved into RICO in the other bill. And this is it's a good cleanup. It maintains a narrow focus and will actually make these statutes, I think, more effective for their intended purpose.
Any further discussion?
Chairman of the committee, I'd also address your attention to the memo that we received from Virginia Vanderbilt to me, dated March 19th, and which the difference between the original ones I got, the -1 and the -2s, is the fact that she's making some additional cleanups to the statutes and eliminating some redundancies.
Mr. Taylor, I wasn't here for a lot of this. The -1s are not in the -2. It's completely different.
No, they're pretty much the same, but you'll see a letter from dated to me March 19th.
Okay.
In close are the amendments to House Bill 2947 that the committee requested. These amendments add requirements. The changes by these amendments bring to light some apparent redundancies in each of the crimes that could easily be remedied if the committee so desires. I believe that ORS 167, 312, 1C and D overlap and could easily be combined into a single paragraph that would say that a person commits a crime of research.
I'm satisfied.
Yes. Oh, they're already in it. Mr. Chair, they're already in it. Yes, I asked it for the -2 amendments to eliminate the redundancies.
Okay. So all we need is the -2?
All we need is the -2.
Do you want to go ahead? Okay, we'll close the public hearing on 2947. and open a work session on 2947.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Shetterly.
Move the dash two amendments into House Bill 2947.
Yeah, Representative Shetterly has moved the dash two amendments into House Bill 2947. Any further discussion? Next order.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative.
Move House Bill 2947 as amended by the dash two amendments to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Shetterly has moved the dash two amendments and 2950 to the full committee with a due pass. And who wants to carry? You do? Any discussion?
Sure, Mr. Chairman, as a committee, you may, one other bill that we've heard before, and Doug Hawkerwood is here, who's a district attorney from Lane County, and this is a bill that we heard some time ago that creates the Oregon Criminal Justice Council. Excuse me?
That's a bigger one, isn't it?
Yes, I don't know whether you need to wait for...
I think before we go any further, we will wait. I think we'll conclude today.
Mr. Hawkerwood, maybe you want to discuss
that. Do you want to discuss that, Mr. Hawkerwood, with us, part of that bill? How long have you been waiting all afternoon?
No, I've been here on...
We have the bill.
Comment if you're interested.
Why don't you come on up, please? And I'll open a public hearing on House Bill 2404.
Acting Chair, members of the committee, my name is Doug Harkleroad. I'm the district attorney in Lane County. I've been doing that I'm on my 17th year with 10 years prior to that. What I would tell you about that bill is that we got sentencing guidelines in 1989. We've never bothered to see if they work or not in any comprehensive way at all. We got ballot measure 11, I believe, in 95. We've never bothered to see in any comprehensive way whether or not that works and how it works in conjunction with sentencing guidelines. These are my opinions, I should say, and I'm not speaking for the Oregon District Attorneys Association on this particular matter. What I think is that it's high time that we had an interim group with some authority and some money behind it to look at sentencing practices in the state of Oregon and see whether or not they're doing what we want them to do. I'm not even sure we know that what we want them to do. I just know that we do it day in and day out all around the state. So I wouldn't set something up that isn't staffed properly, though. I view this as... In 1971, meaning the legislature and an interim committee, revised the Oregon Criminal Code and brought it into the modern times. I envision this in the same zone, where we actually look and see what we have done with sentencing guidelines since we established them. And so that's about all I have to say.
Fair to say that everybody thought the sentencing guidelines were going to be the thing that solved our problems, but we never did look to see if they were solving the problem then.
That would certainly be one thing that could be said about the sentencing guidelines back when they were passed. What I think is that we had a huge jail crowding problem and penitentiary crowding problem at the time, and we were struggling desperately for a system that was better than the old parole system. And we couched it in terms of protecting the public and holding offenders accountable, but it was really all consistent with the resources we had. It was a population management tool for the bed space we had available at the time. And what I think is the victims of crime were outraged at what some of the guidelines were at the time. And so we've seen fixes to that, and we continue to see small fixes, raise this one up a little in the categories, move this one down, that sort of thing. And somebody ought to take a comprehensive look. We've had it long enough now to take a look at it. But don't do it unless people are willing to put a bunch of effort in, and that's going to take some money behind it and some staffing. Mr. Taylor would be a good staff person.
Thanks.
He'd be a very good staff person.
And if you have any questions or comments? Okay, thank you. I'll close the public hearing on 2404. I think we're done for the day. And we're going to quit for the day. It's a long day for everybody. I haven't got another meeting going yet for another hour. Thanks, Doug.
Thanks, sir. Thanks.
Oh, I guess you can clean this up. Okay. I'll get you